Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in.
You guys are lucky.
I know. Well, I'm apparently operating a bed and breakfast over here. I wasn't aware of that, but...
Oh, that's true, too. But, yeah, you guys are lucky that my boss decided to take a last-minute trip to New York City, you know, the City of Lights.
He didn't tell me he was coming.
I didn't know till last night.
I have a wonderful, wonderful bed and breakfast I can put him up.
I warmed up the bed for him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, technically, you warmed it up for someone else without warming it up for hypothetically.
Yeah, the City of Lights. He's off to the City of Lights, and
that's
whatever happens in New York stays in New York. So he's on a plane. I think he's on a plane right now, as a matter of fact.
Huh? So what are they coming here for?
I couldn't tell you. I found out as I was preparing for the other show. Well, actually, I wasn't preparing.
I was going to say, it's kind of rude you prepare for his show.
I don't. No, in full disclosure, I don't. I'm handed a script, and then he just said, oh, yeah, there's no show tomorrow. We're heading to New York. I'm like, what? That's late notice, but... So it freed me up to do... I mean, this is, I guess... What's that term, inside baseball? No one really ever knows exactly when we're doing the show. But normally, this time, I would be predisposed to a... popular show. Is that
a more popular show?
Yeah, I mean, this one, yeah, of course, this one's popular. I mean, jeez, but yeah, a more popular show. So
is he coming for the Taylor Swift concert?
Is she in I would say likely, yeah. Is she in town?
This is the weekend she's at MetLife
for, like, what, 3 days probably or something?
She's
crazy.
Three shows.
Did you see the show in Boston, the absolute downpour that during the concert?
She's had a couple that have been rain. I think Nashville it rained as well.
Well, I feel like this is the rainy season.
Well, yeah. Depends where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here it hasn't rained in a while.
Friday, Saturday.
For me, it was the winter.
I give her. Oh, I guess she only plays on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm not her. Well, I was going to say, you'd think she'd take it. A day off. It's weird. She's playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at MetLife. You'd think Monday's a holiday. Maybe play Monday.
A Monday afternoon show.
But then she's
clearly she doesn't need
in Chicago
our advice
next weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh,
then
that's what
she's Detroit.
Doing.
Friday, Saturday.
Well, then she must be here soon.
Then she's in Pittsburgh. Friday, Saturday.
Oh, well, there goes
then
that.
She's at U.S. Bank. June 23rd and June 24th. So avoid downtown.
I don't want
my my half birthday. Maybe I'll fly in for it.
I don't want to tell them how to do their tour, but if you're in Detroit, Chicago, I don't think the next logical place is Pittsburgh if you're coming to Minnesota.
Well, it went Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Minnesota.
Yeah, I would probably have gone Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota.
It might be about where where the arenas had, you know, when they had schedule openings.
Yeah. Well, TCF or U.S.
Bank. U.S. Bank.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's U.S. But yeah. Yeah. Who knows? So anyway, so.
But you're not wrong.
Yeah. No. It's weird. I mean, honestly, shouldn't we just talk concerts and things like that? Is it really sports to talk about locally here?
Not really locally necessarily, but I think there's a lot going on in the world.
Well, that's what I meant. Should we just talk about what's going on in the world? And
oh, yeah. I mean, I've made my opinion on May baseball very clear.
Oh, I know. I've made my opinion on the Twins very clear, and they're starting to prove me right, so that's fine.
Did you see Rocco's having Twins in September just in time for him to get fired from the Twins?
Oh, I did see he had a...
That is very... He won't get fired, sadly, but yeah, he is having Twins. That is weird.
He was having Twins.
That just gives him job security for another couple years. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. The only thing I will say about... Well, we could probably say a lot of things. Are we done talking about Taylor Swift?
No.
And Connor in New York and how we're
on
WFT.
What's he doing there?
Who?
Connor.
I don't know. I asked you.
Oh, no. I was talking about your Connor.
Oh. right now, do you actually want to know where he is right now? Take one guess. You'll know that you'll guess right, probably. He's not
Liberty.
Here. He took the day off. So he's in New York. He was visiting
Chelsea Markets.
Oh, I'd love to be at the Chelsea Market.
Sam is incorrect. Dad, did you give a guess? I didn't hear.
Statue of Liberty.
No. He's here. He's out and about by himself. He's here visiting. He was here visiting a client in New Jersey yesterday.
Okay.
It was going to just be a day, like a 1 day trip. He was literally going to fly there, fly back in the day after seeing the client.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, his computer completely broke, was operating at 2% capacity.
Well, welcome to my world.
Yeah, his you always operate at 2% capacity.
Yeah, the computer is fine.
Yeah, his Chicago office does not have an IT center.
Of course not, because Chicago is a tiny town.
Right. So they were going to have to ship him a new computer from the New York office. Hope it got there in time for his Thursday flight.
Oh my God.
So instead, what he said he would do was go into the New York office on Wednesday. Stay with me Wednesday night, hence why we couldn't do the show Wednesday night.
Yep.
Then go to his meeting Thursday. He was always going to stay here last night anyways, and then tonight as well. That was the plan, but that's why we couldn't do the show Wednesday because of this computer fiasco. So he goes to his client, comes back, whatever. He gets up today. He's got one place.
Wait. Did they fix the computer?
Oh, yeah. He just went into the office. They hand him a new one.
Oh, they gave
New York has like a whole IT center.
All right, continue.
His company. So, Wednesday night we just got, you know, dinner, whatever. Sam, I brought him to the Canuck Wednesday night. We watched the conclusion of the Panthers-Hurricanes game.
That is something we have
great
to talk
place,
about.
Much to the chagrin of your roommate.
Well, I think my roommate likes it. I think she just, it's not her style, which I understand.
That is something we need to talk about, why Florida teams are so much better than us, but continue.
I actually talked about it with Tom the other night. We'll get to that. Two, whatever. He's been to New York before, so he's done a lot of the sites.
Right.
He had one place on his mind he wanted to return to. So he went there the first time he came a few years ago. Hmm. And he had to go.
Can I have a clue?
He had to go back. It is not. You wouldn't. I would call it a New York City landmark, but I wouldn't say you go there to sightsee.
Oh, Chinatown.
No, it's on the right path. Chelsea Market was on the right path as well, actually.
Oh, Floating Gardens.
No.
Oh, that's sightseeing. Come on, Sam. Get better. Be better. Madison Square Garden?
No, you're going to be... Dad, I'm going to tell you this. You will be very upset if I tell you and you don't guess it.
Oh, my God.
The Barstool Sports Office.
No, you're thinking way too hard. Sam might know it, but...
I don't think I would have got that.
He got up this morning.
Okay.
He left my apartment at about 10:45 a.m.
Right.
Walked himself.
Yep.
Cat's Deli.
Oh, my God. That's pretty far from you.
The 45-minute walk.
What the hell's wrong with him? He can't walk back. He's going to throw up.
He's going to walk it off by going to...
How long was he going to be in line for?
That's why he went at 11:30. No one was really in line.
Oh, really? They don't line up that early?
That was his goal. He went that early.
So how long was he in already? How long is the line?
He's in. No, I texted him.
Wow.
Oh, I had my time a little off. I think he left at, maybe he left at 10 to get there at 10:45.
So,
I texted him at 10:45. I go, Jamaican in one piece. He just sent me a picture of his pastrami sandwich, his Diet Coke, and his free pickles.
Ironically, I just got back from our Cat's Deli. But that's so, which, I mean, I think we should explain for anyone that's listening that doesn't know about Cat's Deli, although everyone listening probably knows, right?
I feel like we've talked about it before, but it's your favorite. It's one of your favorite places.
Well, it's the only one really left. It used to be Carnegie, Stage, and Cat's. And I do think Cat's is sort of the original. Famous scene from When Harry Met Sally.
Yep.
But I don't know if I would call it the charm, but if you don't get there, like, apparently when Connor got there, you're going to wait, what, 45 minutes, an hour just to go in, right?
If you go at, like, regular lunchtime, you can also go at, like...
Dinner time, too.
Yeah, you can also go at, like, 3 or 4 o'clock, none of which you really want to go.
No, that's the problem. They're open 24 hours, right?
They are.
Yeah.
Because that's why I said, I go, oh, are you going right when they open? He goes, they're open 24 hours. I was like, that's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah, so...
No one...
Wow. No, well, yeah, that, I am disappointed. Although, did Sam go to Chelsea Market when he was there?
I went last year, not this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Big fan. I'm a huge fan of Chelsea Market.
I know you are. There's a new sort of Chelsea Market now as well.
There is?
Yeah. It's It's like on the water. It's actually pretty cool.
Oh.
Pretty cool.
Down by where we stayed?
Yes, but like if you were to make an L basically between my apartment, the new Chelsea Market, it's not new Chelsea Market, it's got a different name, but
yeah,
the new Chelsea Market and your hotel, it would be like a perfect L. You would go straight up the water and I would go straight out my door.
Oh, so then, so where, if you're staring at the water, the hotel would have been to the left.
If you're staring at the water from the place, the hotel is to the left, yes.
Yeah, gotcha. Yep. Okay.
No, and it's cool. They built it built like a rooftop park on it that you can sit on. It's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, have you ever seen iced tea there?
I'm sure he frequents it.
Sam, did we ever tell you that, Sam?
I don't think so.
We got in.
Before we move on, do you know who James Beard is? Like the James Beard Award?
Oh, the James Beard Award, of course.
He designed the new place.
Oh.
Like he designed and picked all the restaurants for.
I believe we were going to the Mets game. And we get in the
Sam and I saw the greatest Mets game of all time.
I mean that maybe not even Mets game, maybe baseball game of all time.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, that that was a meltdown to end all meltdowns. We get in the car, Sam, and right out, literally we just sit in the car and I look out my window on the right side. I go, oh, there's iced tea, and everyone's like, what? And they're like, oh my God, there's iced tea.
It wasn't an ice cube.
No, iced tea. It was iced tea, the SBU guy.
I thought you said it was Ice Cube, but it actually was iced tea or something.
It's very possible I said Ice Cube instead of iced tea because I do know my rappers, but once in a while I get confused.
Well, they're both actors. They're not even rappers anymore.
Oh, my bad. Well, my rappers slash actors I'm pretty good at. It's possible I said Ice Cube and meant iced tea, but he was 5 feet away.
He was.
Yeah, the Mets game.
Anyways, Connor's at Cat's Deli. Oh. I wonder if the other Connor will be frequenting Cat's Deli.
Is he going to bring you something back?
Probably not. He said he was going to Central Park after.
Oh, my God. What a day. All right.
Yeah. Although he looks like – I don't know where he's at right now.
Tell your roommate I just got 20 beef sticks.
My roommate's in Rome. That's part of Connor. Yeah.
I told you guys that.
No, you didn't.
Well, I told Mom. I assumed she'd tell you.
Oh, really? You assumed that, huh?
Well, no. I guess you guys don't tell us anything, so...
What haven't we told you?
Well, we can take that discussion off air.
Anyways, I would tell her she's not here.
What new haven't I told you? Will's home. I don't know if you know that. He looks homeless. Came and got it.
Well, that's not new.
He and I went to the casino two nights ago.
He sent me a picture.
That's news to me.
They have some insane machines now that are... I can't keep up with all of them, but I don't know what we haven't told you. Mom painted your ex room.
Yeah, she sent us that video.
Okay, so I don't know what's left.
It's just in general, but we can continue with the show. We don't need to hash the
We're on the
A2A Dirty Laundry.
We're on the air?
That's weird.
I didn't even think we started yet. Okay. Just give me time at some point to rip Brian Myers because he likes to listen. I'm not even sure what for, but I just feel the need to rip him, okay?
Okay.
If you're wondering, he hasn't been kicked out of a game this week. He's back.
I was just talking to Connor, actually, about how he didn't know you coached with Brian. I broke that news to him. He got a kick out of that.
Yeah. Brian, his family comes to watch him. It's awesome. And then... But he did have to serve his one game suspension against Sibley, so he's back in.
Is he allowed to sit like in the stands? Like, yeah,
there is a little gray area, but the Sibley coach, the very first, we didn't know he got kicked out of the section game last year, so he had to serve a suspension. So he came to the game and he had like a lawn chair. I'm like, dude, what's going on? He goes, oh, I got kicked out or whatever, and he says,
they carried it all the way over.
Yes, which no one would have known. We didn't, like, we weren't at his game, and technically there's a gray area, and we said we don't care, just go sit on the hill. We're not going to say anything. You can go in the dugout for all we care. But so there is a gray area whether you can be there or not. But when you get kicked out, you need to leave the grounds. So
right.
I don't even know if we've talked. Have we talked about what happened to him? I don't think we've been on the air since it happened.
To Brian? We have not.
Yeah. Okay, so, and this is just, you guys will get humor, and then I guess we'll start the show. So, if you're going to get kicked out of a game anywhere, think of our conference and what field you would not want to make the walk of shame on?
Hastings, easy.
Bingo. That's the one. Yeah. And they have a new screen instead of a wall, so you can see the person walking through the screen, you know, far away. That's the longest walk of shame. So that's the game he got kicked out of. He never even raised his voice. It was kind of silly, but that's the one where, so he had to take that walk of shame. He's a sinner. There's no doubt about it.
That's like,
he's a bad boy.
He's a
bad boy. It's like a mile and a half.
I know. I said, if there was one school you would not want to get
up a hill,
got to walk all the way around. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, all right. But he's back.
So he's at Cats. Well, now he's no longer at Cats, though. He had cats.
Wow. Did he eat breakfast or lunch? I mean, he couldn't. He had to eat a sandwich. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. I think that's like all they serve. Like, I'm sure maybe they do eggs, but
I would hope you don't go to Cats unless you live there and you're there every day, I guess. But I would hope if you're taking your one shot at Cats Deli, it's for a sandwich. But Sam's never been there, has he?
I genuinely do. They have like, you know, they have like matzo ball soup and knishes and latkes and stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't. And soup, but I don't think they have like breakfast. Yeah. They have bagels, I guess.
Well, that makes, yeah. But you'd have a sandwich on a bagel too.
Good. But their bread's so good.
No, I know. That's what I just.
What were we talking about before that? Oh, yeah, I'm operating an Airbnb apparently, but without pay.
Well, I think Connor and his family, I'm not sure where they're staying. I don't even know what they're doing there. They might be going, are the Yankees or Mets in town?
Or neither? Maybe both. I have no idea.
I think they might be going to a game.
The Mets seem to be in Colorado.
They're probably not going to that game.
Yeah, so the Mets, Padres are visiting the Mets. Can you imagine, listen, we're going to go back to the Mets in a second because Sam and I saw the greatest game played. The Twins are there's a lot of frustration around the Twins, and rightfully so. That's not the point of what I'm about to say, is not to compare them. The San Diego Padres, all that money, all of those guys are 23 and 27. Can you imagine being a Padres fan right now?
They weren't even good last year.
I would be. How is that possible? We even beat them twice. It's like, well, the one team we've won a series from in the past 3 weeks.
I will say this.
Soto, one, Darvish, Machado.
I think they're poorly coached. But when you just pay for that many superstars, they're not going to ever mesh because they're all just about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be that guy, but like, it's baseball. You don't really need to mesh with your teammates.
Well, you do and you don't.
Sure. You do to be like a World Series winner. You don't to be .500.
Oh, no, that's what
they're four games under .500.
Well, I don't think their pitching's so hot, and they spent a lot of
Darvish,
money.
Darvish, Snell. I mean, yeah, they're not been great, I guess, but still.
No.
I'm just trying to find, like, baseball team stats. I think that'll work, that Google search. We'll get what I want.
Well, the Yankees are struggling, although they're better now.
So you think the Twins have a bad offense?
I know they do.
Oakland's obviously last, right?
Right.
You want to know who's second to last by average?
I know, San Diego.
San Diego.
And by the way, Toronto, who's got another really good team and spent trillions of dollars, they're on a losing streak and they're coming to town and had a players-only meeting. I'm a little nervous for the Twins and how many runs they're going to score against us.
Yeah, we're going to be at the expense of that.
Yeah.
And even if you're not a big average matters guy, San Diego is still 21st in OPS if that's your
stat. In what sport in what world does your batting average not matter? That's the most
insane. I don't know, but people have that take. I get the concept, but.
I don't get the
It concept. Does matter to an extent. You don't need to have every guy hitting .330. You want a couple guys with power and all that. I get that.
But you know what? If every guy hit .330 and you didn't hit that many home runs, you'd still be fine. No, batting average is super important.
True.
Batting average is important.
My point was you're never going to have a team of guys that all hit threes.
Right.
So, like, knowing that, you have to have the power.
We don't have a team of five guys combined hitting 330. Ouch, yeah, too soon.
Takes a couple.
Why am I like that? That's the holiday week.
I actually led with, I don't really want, this wasn't meant to be about the Twins. It's meant
it
to be
doesn't
about,
need to be. They're so
understand
pathetic.
About how the Padres are four games under.
I say they don't deserve our breath, although Sam's new hometown team was just in town.
They're ahead of San Diego in the standings. They're 500. Mm-hmm. San Diego's pitching ERA is 10th in the league. So it's
sad when Lamont Wade Jr. would be like our top two hitter on our team.
It works for him. I'm not knocking him. Not the point of what I'm about to say. The guy just
hates him.
No, I don't hate him, actually. I actually lived with a friend of his for a short period of time. Yeah. The guy just doesn't swing.
I feel like that's something we should have known.
Well, that's good for leadoff hitter. Something our leadoff hitters could probably adapt.
He's fine. Like I don't feel bad.
Has someone ever explained to Rocco the definition of a leadoff hitter? Because clearly he just doesn't really get it. Between Sano and different catchers, and Kepler and Gallows, It's stunning.
He's batting. Didn't he bat Kirilloff leadoff for a little bit there? He started.
None of those guys are leadoff hitters.
Kirilloff's batting like 320.
No, that's why he's not a leadoff hitter. He's not like a get on base guy. He's probably our best hitter right now. He should be batting third. But Gallows doesn't even want to bat there.
No, yeah, he's been the best one there, ironically.
Well, yeah, but that's not.
No, not one. It's a low bar for
Guess
sure.
who would have been really good there?
Yeah, I know. Although he has not been playing well the last few weeks.
Luis Arraez.
His average is still like 330 because it was so good before. The last 2 weeks he's been rough.
I'll take him.
But I think it honestly goes back to my point of like, as crazy as it sounds, and this is why I think why even just paying all that money for San Diego, like how it doesn't make sense, it doesn't work. Like Miami's under 500. Like it's crazy.
Yeah,
how one guy in baseball specifically, I mean, we could have a 25-minute conversation about this alone, like, just doesn't make that much of a difference. So Absolutely. You're trying to, like, maximize, you know, what you need. We needed pitching. They accomplished that goal where we have probably arguably the best starting pitching rotation in the league because of the trade. Now the offense is faltering. Would Arraez help? Probably. But that's it wouldn't matter if Correa continues to struggle. Miranda, they had to send back down. Larnach, they had to send back down. He's only back because half our corner outfielders are hurt. We had a lineup the other day. And this is actually what I was going to say at the beginning of the Twins chatter. That every single guy playing, except for Buxton, ironically, started the year as a backup or as a St. Paul Saint.
Yeah.
Because we have like six guys hurt. How do we always have guys hurt?
It's this organization, they're failures. The injury thing is ridiculous.
They fire the trainer, which like clearly it wasn't his fault because these guys are hurt again.
They're known for signing guys that are always hurt. So where did you guys?
These aren't them though.
The Mets game. Where did you sit and who were you cheering? I mean, are you a Mets fan now?
Well, they were playing Cleveland, so we were.
We were cheering the Mets because they're playing Cleveland. After that performance, I think I'm a Mets fan for life.
Set the stage.
So we're sitting down the third baseline, I feel like sixth or seventh row, probably just beyond the infield. It was 3-0 Cleveland before we even got into our seats. Eventually, Cleveland pushes it to 5-0, I believe, you know, in the middle innings. Sam has bets on two guys to hit a home run, one of which is Pete Alonso. Everybody knows him.
I think he's hit one every day. Yeah.
Yeah. He's basically leading the league in home runs. Other guy, name's Brett Batty. Never heard of him in my life. I don't even know that's how you say his name. Don't know where he came up with it. It's 5-0. We are going to get food. And as we're standing there waiting in line, I'm waiting in line for my steak sandwich. Batty comes up to bat.
Which is Frank the Tank approved, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Did you see him at the game?
No, but he was there the next day eating the same steak sandwich, so you know it's good.
He had to have more than one.
He only had one in front of him in the picture, But I cannot confirm nor deny he had a second one. I mean, I wasn't there. So anyways, it's 5-0. Let's call it the bottom of the fifth, I guess, at this point, maybe. And we're standing there waiting for our, oh no, I think I'm mixing up my innings now. Or did it take us that long to get food, Sam? Because the other guy went, hit a home run.
The other guy went yard when we were getting food. Brett Beatty.
So I think before that, they scored 2 runs in the bottom of the fifth to make it 5-2. Because we were going to get food in the fifth. The guy hits a home run. We're like, all right, we'll stick around. I think Lindor or whatever doubles, then someone hits him in. So it's 5-2 now. Sixth inning rolls around. We had made the mistake earlier of going to the bathroom after the Mets batted. That's when everybody goes. So this time we're like, all right, we'll watch the Guardians bat. When they're done, then we'll go get food. We go to get food. Brett Batty leads off the inning. It's 5-2 game. Never heard of this guy in our lives. Home run. As we're standing there waiting to get food. Because everything always happens when I leave my seats. So now it's 5-3.
That, by the way, that is true.
Always. Every time.
Didn't they score like 5 goals when you two went to the bathroom once at a hockey game?
Uh-huh, yeah. You and D saw like 6 goals, and we're like standing there right in line for chicken tenders. Well, at least I got a steak. I got a steak sandwich this time, but yeah. They're playing Winnipeg.
I've had that steak sandwich, by the way.
You have. It's good.
Continue.
So now it's 5-3. Then sure enough, Guardians come up, and they immediately blow it. So now they blow it. Now it's 7. It's 7-3. So now it's the bottom of the seventh. It's 7-3. Everyone's kind of mad. Nimmo walks, Lindor gets a hit, and I think another guy walks. And then they bring in Karinchak, that nut job, who sucks this year. And there's a group of very rowdy Mets fans sitting in front of us. And in front of them is a kid who is like 14 and his dad, who are Cleveland fans. And they are going back and forth in a very funny way all game. And they bring in Karinchak, and the kid's talking about how he was so good, he's just having an off year, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I remember I turned to either Sam or D. I was like, this guy sucks this year. Like, I don't know what happened, but he sucks. Pete Alonso's now up to bat. There are no outs.
Big
money. It's 7-3.
Yeah.
Bottom of the seventh. Bases are loaded. Ball one, strike one, ball two, ball three. So now it's a 3-1 count. I remember we were kind of looking at each other like, if he's going to do it, like, it's right now. Pete Alonso goes yard, grand slam, tie game. The guys in front of us, literally everybody in the stadium must have had money on Pete Alonso to hit a home run. It's all we heard.
Wasn't that like his ninth game in a row or something weird?
Probably.
Like that?
It was
he had three in a row and then had to, I think he won, or maybe it was 4 in a row. I can't remember. It was either 4 in a row or 3 in a row off day, then another one. But yeah
he's hit like 9 out of 10 games. Some crazy stuff.
Sam can corroborate the story. We must have heard 6 or 7 different people say, you know, I either A, have money on Pete Alonso to hit a home run, or like, oh, I just need Pete Alonso to hit a home run for my parlay. Like, it had to be 7 people. Place goes nuts. These guys are yelling at this 14-year-old kid. He's laughing, whatever. It's insane. Fast forward, it goes all the way to extras. Top of the 10th, Cleveland hits a home run to go up 9-7. So now we're like, Jesus. Like, now, after all that, they're going to lose. Because they bring in Class A, who's played very well, although he's had a bad stretch of a couple weeks, actually. Worse than, and this is not a joke, he's had a worse stretch than Emilio Pagan by a number of metrics.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, as good as he's been. So whatever. Inning starts, get the fake runner on second, which is the stupidest thing ever. Somebody somehow hits him in. So now it's 9-8. Guy on first or whatever. They bring in Vogelbach, who's basically just Frank the Tank if Frank the Tank played baseball.
How many people are left at the game? Did people? Because I have
a nobody left. Nobody left. First off, it was packed to begin with. No one had.
It was probably the most crowded baseball game I've been to in a long time because I haven't been to a playoff game. But
and no one left. That's interesting.
Well, first off, the games are so fast now. But they tied
that's
it
true.
Early enough that no one left when they were down 4. No one's going to leave in the 7th inning. And the seventh inning.
Yeah, that's true. It was the seventh inning.
And then at that point, like, okay, Cleveland goes up 2 in the top of the 10th. Why, like, are you really going to leave for the bottom of the 10th? Like, so place is still packed. So now Vogel Frank the Tank, which is very hypocritical, calls him Vogel Fat. Vogelbach strikes out. So now it's 9-8.
Yeah, that's pot.
Guy on second. Pinch runner, Eduardo Escobar, former friend. He steals second, actually. So now he's on second.
Eddie was a big part in that game.
Yeah, some guy's up. Knocks in Escobar. So now it's 9-9. And the top of the order's up. The nine hitter went deep. He was a catcher. Goes deep and hits has the game tying RBI. And then I think the leadoff hitter comes up. And Sam, doesn't he hit like an infield single or he boots a ball?
It was Nimmo, who Frank the Tank absolutely hates.
Yeah.
And he hit one in the hole in between shortstop and third and beat it out, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And they botched the scoop or something. I think he would have probably been safe anyways. Whatever. So now there's a guy in first and third, and Francisco Lindor, in his first game ever against Cleveland since leaving, is up to bat. And it's a tie game after all that craziness. Very first pitch, right through the right side, game over, walk-off win, Lindor. They came back from five down twice, or five down once, four down another time.
Four down, yeah.
The largest comeback win of the whole season. Place is packed, going nuts. The group, the kid that was a Cleveland fan and his dad left when the game was 9-7. And it was probably the best decision they've ever
made. Yeah, I was going to say that had to be a very good decision.
It was genuinely 19 runs, 20-something hits, a grand slam to tie the game, three or four other home runs, walk-off win, Lindor against the Guardians. Genuinely probably the best baseball game I've ever been to.
Here's the most important question. How long does it take to get an Uber?
Well, we took the subway.
We took the subway.
Oh, you did?
Like good citizens of the
I
city.
Always say an Uber getting in and out is a disaster.
So the subway scares me.
I think Sam had a reasonable experience.
Although I did take a train.
I thought it was fine.
I did take a midnight train from Philly to New York at one night, and that could have been just as scary as the subway, to be totally frank the tank with you.
Well, no one was really on that train.
No, it was packed. We couldn't even sit by each other.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one into Philly.
No, the one into Philly was very pleasant. We had a dining car. We had tons of room. That was
Clearly the you're bearing the lead of apparently there's a lot of idiots like us that take the trip that go to Philly from New York for extreme rules
for a night. Yeah. Yeah, that was a scary ride home.
Yeah, I forgot.
And then we arrived at 2:30 or whatever it was, quarter to three.
That's pretty funny. I forgot that. So yeah, perhaps the greatest baseball game I've ever seen in person.
Well, that was worth it.
Very worth it. Tickets weren't crazy either. We bought them pretty last minute.
Yeah, that sound like good seats.
And I mean, they're playing Cleveland. No one really cares about Cleveland. The Mets were, they're only 500, so it was pretty good. I have another funny, that's just baseball fact for you.
Yep, I'm ready.
Would you like to guess who has one of the top 10 OPSs with the bases loaded in all of minor league baseball?
Oh, minor league baseball?
All of minor league baseball.
Michael Busch?
No, the team. It's a team.
Oh, what team? Well, I would think the irony
of the Cedar Rapids Colonels still around?
They are. Right vein, wrong team.
Fort Myers Muscles. But I think the irony...
Even more ironic.
The irony with...
It's the Fort Myers Miracle, isn't it?
It is the Fort Myers... No, they're the Muscles now.
They've changed to the Muscles.
They had the coolest logo I've ever seen. Why would they change
it? You and I both had commented on that. And
the Muscles logo is pretty cool, too.
I remember I went to buy a hat, and they were sold out.
Yeah, and as soon as we commented on it, the next year they changed to the Muscles. Which is weird. I'm going to go with the St. Paul Saints because of the irony that, by the way, this whole bases loaded issue goes back to what this show in its 30th year has said time and time again about Rocco and this team. They don't do the little things. That's why they don't score with the bases loaded.
So you're right, by the way. Thank you. Which is funny because, I meant about the Saints, but you're also right about the other thing. The Saints First off, it's ironic for two reasons. One, half of the Twins' original starting day roster are on the Saints. Poorly, they're now on the Saints, or vice versa, half of the Saints' roster is now on the Twins. The Saints have a 356 average with the bases loaded and a 1.099 OPS, top 10 in all of minor league baseball.
Should we bring back Molitor?
Yes.
No, isn't their coach Gardenhire's kid?
Yeah, but I think Molitor helps out.
He was a base running coach, which that clearly didn't help. Maybe it helped a little bit. They've actually stolen a lot of bases lately.
Yeah, that team.
The Twins have stolen a lot of bases lately.
Well, actually.
Buxton got tweaked his knee or whatever, trying to steal a base. So.
No, he's fine. He played.
Maybe
two days.
Buxton. You know what? Maybe Buxton should learn how to freaking slide the right way.
He does slide funny. He always has.
Thank you.
I'm trying to find the stat about the dumbest part of the Twins with the bases loaded thing. Here's their splits. Now these aren't great, but they're pretty good. Here's their split with runners in scoring position, but not bases loaded. They're batting .272, have an on base of .367, and a slugging of .484. That's pretty good. The second you add one or two more guys on base and load them, everything cuts by like 80%. It's insane. It's the dumbest thing ever. Like, everything you should be doing with runners in scoring position is what you would want to do with the bases loaded. So why, like, they just crumble for whatever reason and half for 2 years. That is to me the dumbest part of the whole thing. They just have an approach pressure issue. But
I gotta ask you
two with runners in scoring position.
Because I gotta ask you two something. So you two are fairly young. So you're of the younger generation. But I feel, and I could be wrong, that you're sort of old school baseball minds. So 15 years ago, we had batting averages. That was it. And Major League Baseball was just fine. And college baseball was just fine. And now high schools. All these stats with the launch times and this and that. And do you think it helps or hurts the game of baseball?
I think if done and used properly, it helps. What my concern is, I think where they're useful is in quantifying different types of players. And I think for other reasons, we've just used these newer stats to quantify every player with them and in the same way. And I'll give you a very close to home. Close to home. I want to say down to earth.
Well, we have three different homes. Who's home? Sam's? West
the
Coast,
Minnesota,
East Coast,
Twins,
Mid Coast.
The Twins. The Twins. Luis Arraez, very, very valuable player. Joey Gallo, valuable player. But you would argue very valuable in different ways with the seasons they have had in their careers, right?
Yeah.
Lamont Wade, who we mentioned earlier, another good example. Like, Luis Arraez's 2023 OPS is .887. Joey Gallo's 2023 OPS is .890. And if you just look at those numbers, and this is what my biggest problem with a lot of analytics today, you're like, they have a similar impact on the game. And they don't. And hypothetically, that statistic tells you they do, but they don't. Arraez bats leadoff. He gets on base, and he's there for then guys like Joey Gallo, who only hit .220, but have a slugging percentage of .561 and like 12 home runs this year and a lot of power to knock him in. And my issue with the way analytics are applied is they are applied to every player in the same way. But there are guys like Joey Gallo that deliver value outside of their batting average, and there wasn't ever really a way to quantify that well. Versus there are guys that only hit for average and no power. And that's a valuable use, and that's valuable statistic as well.
I feel like Sam
might disagree. To compare these same guys, and I just don't think like they're both valuable, but you have to apply them to the right players to understand their value. Because Joey Gallo, Rocco's an idiot, so he does should never hit leadoff. But if you're 4 or 5 hitter, that's .220, but hits 30 to 40 home runs a year. He actually walks a good amount. His on base is .330. He doesn't strike out he strikes out more than he should, obviously, but he gets on base a good amount, even though his average is only .220. Like, that's a valuable player, but in a very different way, even though OPS or OPS plus or whatever would tell you that him and Arraez are the same.
They're both. I have a feeling Sam might disagree.
I don't you can throw any statistic out that you want. I don't like data saying average still matters. Drew, you're saying the other statistics show Arias and Gallo the same hitter. Do you know what statistics?
I don't think they are though. My point is we've gone too far with them. I think it's all valuable information, but you have to apply it with context. And I don't think we apply it.
The only number we should be looking at right now is runs scored. And the Twins are last.
That's actually not probably good to look at either, because we're like 12th in the league in runs scored.
I mean, it's not top 10.
No, but
we would be top five.
Don't believe me.
We're probably like the 20th best team in the league anyways. It probably all matches.
If you look at our games.
We're 13th in the league in runs scored, which is why that's not even a good set to look at, because like we're not the 13th best offense.
Well, if you look at our games, our pitching has been carrying game in and day out, day in and day out. I can't even speak. It's too early here.
9:30, you're fine.
Right.
But if you look at our games, we're losing games by one run, two runs, and it's like 4-3. It's 3-2. It's 2-0. Like, we're not scoring enough runs. But that's
my point. That's why I'm looking at just runs scored, because we had that two-game stretch against the Cubs where we scored like 30. It totally skews that whole statistic. That's my point. It doesn't matter the statistic you look at, whether it's a team statistic, a player statistic, advanced, classic, whatever. If you just look at a number and read a box score, like, it does you no good. You need to look at things with context.
But that's what these teams are doing. That's what I just think all this analytics stuff is ridiculous. I think it's too much. I think it actually makes.
I agree. I think we've taken it too far. I think it's valuable information.
It makes no sense. Because you know what? If Gallo's hits 200 but hits 40 home runs, you know he hit 40 home runs, so of course you're going to play him.
Yeah.
I just don't think we need this crap. If you watch the games, you get it. You see it.
That's context. That's my exact.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing. I think it's too far and too much. Explain to me why when a guy hits a home run, we need to see the velocity, the velo that it gets out on.
It's pretty cool to see.
It's cool.
It's like, same with a pitcher. Like, do I need to see how hard he threw that ball? Like, I know he threw it hard because it looked fast and the guy swung late. Like,
they all throw in the 90s. So it's stupid. I agree. And guess what? If you hit 40 home runs that went 1 inch over the fence in a loop, or you hit 15 home runs that got out in a second, who the hell cares?
That I do agree with that. I think a lot of those things are more for entertainment than anything else.
I get it, but they make a big deal about it. And yeah, I'm sorry, Dick Bramer is the worst announcer in the history. And I know all these other guys are getting fired for being stupid. I just pray.
There's a difference between being dumb and racist and bad.
Yeah, I hope he becomes racist. That guy is so pathetic. He makes it almost impossible to watch a game.
It's sad because Morneau and Perkins, and they had Plouffe on the other week, are all actually
Plouffe
very
is great.
Good. They're very good.
And this guy is so pathetic.
I'm with you in the sense of like context in these things, and there are some that are like way overboard. Like I'm like, that's six letters to describe the acronym for this statistic. That's too much.
And sadly, it's trickled down to high school kids who should be the last thing they think about.
I do think there is an element there though. And it doesn't apply to how good are you as a player, really. But I think there's something to apply there in terms of, like, your process is good. You are just experiencing a stretch of kind of bad luck. That's where I think things like exit velocity and, you know, expected batting average are useful, because we know baseball, I'd like to think. Like, baseball is a sport where you can do everything right. You can hit the hardest ball you've hit in 3 weeks. If it happens to be where a guy's standing, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Your process was good. You put a good swing on it. Sometimes it's just bad luck. That's why 300 hitters are Hall of Famers. I think in those cases, you can say, you know what? Your exit velo was good. And you used to just say, like, hey, you hit it hard. This is just a way to prove that and quantify it.
Okay.
But where I think you lose me is when you say, well, this guy's a good hitter because his exit velo is super high. And it's like, well, but he's batting 210. So
you two both coach Legion baseball. So same kids or same age group, same kind of baseball. You both did it. And I'm not going to say you two are good coaches because that might go to your head. But I would venture to guess, and you can both answer this, that you could watch an entire season and never see a stat and know which kids were hitting it hard and just getting screwed.
Well, sure.
And even the ones that had the bet, you didn't need stats to know which were your better hitters and which guys were putting the bat on the ball and which kids were hitting it hard. If you're a good coach and you watch the game, you know.
I agree, but I do think that it in baseball specifically, it's such a mental game. It's very easy to say, well, he's just saying that to make me feel better. I think when you, and again, I don't think over the course of a full season, whether it's Legion, high school, college, pros, whatever, you should at the end of the year be like, hey, your exit velo was up from the year before. You had a better season. It's like, no. Did you put the ball in play? Did you get runs in? Like, that matters. That matters over the course of a whole season. But if you're having a rough week, if you can say to a kid or a player, like, listen, I know it doesn't feel like it's going well, but everything, every, you know, percentage statistic, let's say your exit velocity, your expected bad, like things like that are no different this week than they were the week before when you were, you know, you had 10 hits out of 20 at bats. Like it is nice to, I think, be able to point to something quantitative and be like, just keep doing what you're doing. It'll work, because then it doesn't come off as like, well, he's just saying that to make me feel better. It's like, oh, there's actual fact behind that. But as soon as it goes beyond just helping to get it, you know, someone through a slump, I think you're applying a statistic in the wrong way without context. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the year, I know I was joking about Sam saying, look at run score, but like what matters is, did you score more runs than the other team when you needed to? It doesn't matter if that's 2-1. It doesn't matter if that's 12-11. Like the Mets probably came out of the game like, wow, yeah, I wish we would have pitched better. But like, who cares? We won. You know, like that's all that really matters. Doesn't matter how hard you hit the ball, where you hit it, as long as you do what you need to do in those spots. So the short answer, my short response to your question is, I think some add value, but I don't think you can apply them without context. And I'm glad we have some of them, because I also find some just to be entertaining. I like to know that Joey Gallo hit a ball so far and hard that the company tasked with telling you how far and hard he hit something needed 24 hours to figure it out. Like, that's fun. But that's what it's there for, you know. It's not there to say he's a good or a bad player because he hit it really hard. So, I don't know. I do think we've gone too far, though. I'm not trying to say we haven't. I just think they have application.
I have devastating news.
You ate all the beef.
This might. I don't think it's going to ruin your days or anyone else's, really. But Dairy Queen is no longer going to do the cherry dip cones. I didn't even know people. They dipped. They had that up.
I know they had it. I've never seen anyone order it. Can we shift?
Well, I don't. I'm surprised they do the upside down blizzard challenge after you knocked it out of the guy's hands.
I don't think Drew ever knew that. I was driving Sam, and I don't know if
you told me the story.
Yeah, I don't know if Sam wanted his, you know, the friend wanted his name on the show, but I said that I'll bet you $1 million the guy that the cone, the thing hits the ground, and the guy dipped it up upside down, and I absolutely smacked it out of his hands. I thought it was maybe a little violent.
Yeah, he didn't like find the humor. Much.
No, he didn't find the humor.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he
did. We were in Scani when that happened.
You're lucky to pull a gun on you.
Well, that was a few years ago.
Oh.
I wouldn't be doing that behavior now. All right, what's last on these? Can I say one thing quickly?
Yes.
And we don't have to even talk about it. But I don't want this show to ever be accused of us being chauvinistic and not giving women equal rights. Cheryl Reeves needs to go. Okay.
Oh, please. I actually wanted to say something about her.
All right.
You know who I think's on the same – you know who I think is on – this is not to say she's as good of a coach as this person is. But you know who is absolutely on the exact same franchise and coaching career trajectory? And it's going to make sense when I explain it.
Pop
and Reeves. Absolute franchise dynasties with the same players year after year after year. Those players eventually, they got old, they got bad, and instead of just quitting, they were like, you know what? We're just going to suck for a couple years. Yeah, it's going to be fine. We're going to suck. We're going to be terrible, but we're going to get generational talents when it's all over, and then we're going to probably go win another one.
Yeah. Well, he got.
They're tanking for either Caitlin Clark or Paige Buckets. I don't know who.
Well, they're not. They're doing. They're off. Antonio. Yeah. Like, they might not win a game.
And I think that's fine with her and them. And you know why I know it's fine with her? She's also the GM.
Yeah, she can't get fired.
And she doesn't care because she knows they're going to suck. And they're going to end up with one of the great – they're going to end up with perhaps the greatest scorer in the history of women's college basketball or hometown hero, Paige Buckets.
Yep.
And she doesn't care, just like Popovich didn't care when the Spurs won 15 games.
Right.
It is identical. Now, yep. I think Pop is probably a better coach than Reeves because he won with like a little bit less than she did. She needed like everything. But WNBA is also very different than the NBA. But
is Maya more like a stay-at-home mom now? What's she doing these days?
Yes.
Pretty much.
She's never officially retired, but I
thought she did, finally.
Oh, maybe she did. I don't know.
By the way,
she'll probably join the super team of the Aces for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the WNBA did take that idea from the NBA, that's for sure.
No, wait. The Aces aren't paying players on the side. Go ahead.
Well, they just built that huge facility, I'm sure. Yeah. No, I literally had this thought the other day when I saw how bad the Lynx are going to be. Popovich. Yeah. Cheryl Reeves, identical. Identical right. Career.
And friends, I believe.
I think so, because they're both USA basketball coaches.
Right.
I figured you'd be on board with that when I was.
No, I agree with that.
Talk about retiring, but not retiring. Am I the only guy who thought Carmelo Anthony had already retired?
I didn't even. Much like Tina Turner, I thought she was already dead.
You know, it's so bad you say that. I did too. I thought so too.
I had no idea.
She had the Broadway play. I didn't think you got one of those.
Well,
she died.
I knew the Broadway play was alive, but I didn't think.
No, but I meant I didn't think you got a Broadway play until you had passed.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I guess Alanis Morissette got one. I shouldn't say that.
She did? About her?
Yeah, and it was actually really, really popular, and then COVID hit. I wanted to see it. It was called Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Broadway, what's the play that I really want to see so bad? I've been.
And Juliet.
And Juliet. Yeah. I sent someone to go see it. And this is no lie. I know someone, family that was going to New York, that used to go to New York all the time. Half of them saw the show and then half went and saw something different did something different. They said it was the greatest play they've ever seen. And then the whole family and the few that went and already saw it went and saw it again within the 3-day period.
Listen, I'm sure they have. Tickets are so expensive. I'm waiting to go until you guys come back.
Yeah, they didn't even understand how I knew about it. They didn't even understand when they said they decided to go on a whim when I told them about it, and then they went back 3 days later and saw the same play with the rest of their family. Said it was insane.
I'm waiting to you guys. That and Carbone next time you come.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're in.
So there's another couple plays coming out that are so I actually went and saw Moulin Rouge for the first time a couple weeks ago. That is an incredible play, actually. Highly recommend. JoJo, former teen pop star, is the lead right now.
She is? Isn't that the girl from Dancing with the Star?
No, not JoJo Siwa.
Well, I don't know. How many JoJos are there, for Christ's sake?
This girl was like a 13, 14 year old pop star when I was like 12 or 13.
Oh, JoJo?
Yeah, okay. I'm sure if I played one of her songs, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I think I
probably.
She went through the whole Taylor Swift thing of, like, someone owned her master records and finally got it back and that whole thing.
Okay.
But no one cared about her because she wasn't Taylor Swift.
Right.
So that was very good. The other one I really want to see that's going through production right now, Back to the Future, the musical.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. McFly?
Yep. Back to the Future is getting a musical.
How would that work?
I don't get that either.
I got another one for you, too, that's coming out relatively soon. It's called Once Upon a One More Time. I'll give you one guess what music stylings are throughout that play.
Ragtime?
No. Think of the name.
Once Upon a what?
Once upon a one more time. Oh, Britney Spears?
Hit Me Baby One More Time?
Yep.
Oh, my. Yep. First of all, how about the fact that we both, Sam and I both guessed it?
Yep.
So Britney Spears is, well, that'll be interesting.
Well, I think it's her music. Well, I know it's her music.
Do you two know that I went to a movie, speaking of all this?
I did.
I did, yeah.
It actually was good.
I did. It's, Once Upon a One More Time. It's going through previews right now. We're going to go at some point soon. Here's the synopsis. While gathered together at a reading group for fairy tale princesses, Cinderella makes a desperate wish for a new story. Fairy godmother grants that wish, introducing the enchanted land to the feminine mystique. The book emboldens the group, which includes Snow White, The Little Mermaid, Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, and the princess from Princess and the Pea, to gain a new perspective on themselves as they realize waiting around to be rescued isn't the only road to happily ever after. Set in a fantasy storybook realm, the plot follows numerous fairy tale characters transformed in a jukebox musical comedy based on songs popularized by Britney Spears.
Oh, these are just about her songs, not her.
It's her music, but the plot. I mean, that's how most of these are.
Well, I feel like they could have pretty wacky play about her, but okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. So it's all about the, it's about the.
Oh, wow.
Princesses.
I guess I could see that. Sounds bizarre, but I could probably go see that one.
So that's the other new one that's coming out that's supposed to be very good. I don't think it's any Anne Juliet, but Anne Juliet's the same idea. It's a totally different story.
Just yeah.
The music of who was it? Who is it again? Who's the, what's the the producer?
The guy that's, oh shoot. He wrote all those songs.
I can't think of his name.
I
think he wrote one of the Britney Spears songs.
He did. He wrote.
That's why it made me think of it.
He wrote Baby One More Time. Max
Martin? Is that it?
What?
Max Martin? No.
Something Martin, I think.
Maybe it is Max Martin then. I don't know. I feel like I remember the name a bit more. But anyways, that's what made me think of it. There's your Broadway for the week, people.
I don't think we do enough
Swedish
Broadway.
Swedish pop songwriter Max Martin.
Yeah, Max Martin. I knew it was Martin.
There's your Broadway down.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to end. We have to end, don't we?
We got like a minute or two. Is it something I'll ask you both quickly before we send off?
Did we mention we're on WFNU?
I started. You interrupted me, I think. But you're going to tell people when we leave.
Oh, okay.
But I said it earlier. Okay. Is it far-fetched to say that the Timberwolves gave the Nuggets the hardest series of the three series?
No, I mean, that's true.
It's true.
And we actually played them tough all year.
Don't worry, LeBron was playing with like a torn foot.
Oh, God, I'm so sick of him.
Well,
oh, I'm on pins and needles as he came back.
The rest of the team sucked so bad.
They all suck so bad. Ridiculous. And
Dad, do you want to apologize about D'Lo yet? Because he may have lost in the playoff series.
No, because that's not. I didn't say he's a great player.
He got benched. I
wanted to talk about this. We're out of time.
Okay. All I said was that we handed them a playoff berth. That's all.
So
I said.
Here's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave you with this. I'll give you a week to think about. For someone who is all about winning championships or nothing, you seem to care a lot about the fact that we helped them in the regular season, but gave them a player that has proven year in and year out he is not cut out for the playoffs.
That's not even close to being a correlation, but that's fine. I didn't think they were going to win the championship. I never said they were going to win the championship. I just said we took a team. I said because we took a team that's – if I said in theory, you don't take a team that's down and out and behind you and just let them leapfrog you by giving them players. And it wasn't even about D'Lo. It was about all the players that they got. And by the way, they got
– which none of which were helpful in the playoffs.
I don't think Beasley played a minute.
Beasley didn't play a minute, and they had to take Vando out of the starting line 2 games in.
Okay, timeout. All I ever said was that I was going to get him there. I didn't say how far they were
going to go. My point is, you seem to care a lot about letting them get there when all you care about is winning championships. That's all.
That's all I care about here because I'm sick of having good regular seasons. It doesn't matter. Every single analyst
said the regular season doesn't matter.
Every and I didn't matter because I just said that we just gave them a spot ahead of us. It just shows I care about us being stupid. I never thought they were winning one, and I never thought we were winning one with those guys.
It was just a thought.
My point was proven, and every analyst said that those trades got them as far as they went. Period. And I stand by it. D'Lo was never going to do anything with us, either as Cat or any of the other crap we have. But on that note, Connor's show, as we mentioned, will be a repeat right here on WFNU 94.1. Do you want to add the Frog Tongue Community Radio part, or should I?
I feel like you just sort of did that.
Oh, all right.
You seem to be on a roll. I wanted to talk about that earlier because I felt good about it. But
yeah, well, Stay tuned for a I don't know what exactly.
But honestly, at this, by the time we do a show next week, the NBA Finals won't have even started. So we'll have plenty of time.
That's the crazy thing, but we'll talk about that next week.
Just begun to get our share of this world.